Good morning again, my friend. This is David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, and yes, you are listening to Pebbles of Truth on WJCB Radio. Now, more this week on the road to fellowship. This week we'll begin to look at the road somewhat by looking at, I believe, the best illustration of how to come into fellowship with Christ, which is found in the story of the two disciples of the Lord on the road to Emmaus. Now this story is long, and it's found in Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 34, so we're not going to read these verse by verse, but please take this journey with us by step by step. So, guess what? Homework. Yes, that's right. I said homework. Please study, not read, but study Luke chapter 24, verse 13 through 34. And next week, we'll be able to see what we covered today and what we will cover in the weeks to come. Now, there is much in its leading to fellowship in these verses. This is one of the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus Christ. And indeed, it happened on the very same day of Jesus' resurrection. So that would have been on that Sunday morning. Thus, the shock and the fear and the devastation of the crucifixion that had happened 3 days before had not yet dissipated. You may have already heard the news and been given the report by certain women that the body of Christ was gone, and that angels had said he was alive. Oh, wow. But at this point, all of that was beyond their capacity to grasp it. Now put yourself in their shoes. What would you think has happened? But the conversation recorded between the two men and then between the two men and Jesus revealed many things about their understanding immediately after the crucifixion, but before they realized that Jesus has been raised from the dead. So we're going to look at that little timeline right there. And this is a critical point. Well, first, they had hoped that it had been he, Jesus, which should have redeemed Israel. And we can see that in verse 21. And yet, rather than refer to Jesus as the Son of God, oh no, they refer to him as a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all of the people. And you can see that in verse 19. But at that point, they had no frame of reference for Jesus as the Son of God. Let me say that again. These two disciples had no frame of reference for Jesus as the Son of God. No, instead, they had hoped he was the Messiah, as most of the Jewish people were expected, the Messiah, the one who would reign and rule in the temple in Jerusalem. And all of his Jesus deeds had convinced them that he was exactly that, the Messiah. But now their hopes were dashed with his physical death, and now his body is missing. Wow. Please note again that they had hoped, though, that Jesus would be the one to redeem Israel. Their leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees, taught only salvation for Israel, but not for the entire world. Indeed, the Jews of that time did not believe or teach the doctrine of original sin from Adam in the garden. That is why they believed a person could earn salvation through good works and the study of the scriptures. Of course, that would be the Old Testament. Wow, does that sound familiar, though? I guess it is true. There is nothing new under the sun. Today, most Christians and some believers I know believe they are saved by good works. Well, that's not true. Especially the mainstream denominations. And the more you study the Bible and the more scripture you can commit to memory, the more holy you are. And well, that's not true either, my friend. Sadly, if we do not live our life in and out of Christ, all of the scripture that we have memorized, God will use to judge us with. Hey, wow. It would be better for some Christians never to learn scripture, or even for some not to come to church. So the redemption of, of Israel in the minds of these disciples was a much different redemption than the redemption that Jesus bought for us on the cross of Calvary. It was not a new creature in Christ Jesus. Oh no, it was at best and foremost an outward restoration of Israel to glory leading to an earthly kingdom of God. The Jews had no expectation that when the Messiah came that he would be God incarnate and would suffer and die for all of mankind. A triumphant king and a suffering Messiah? How could that be? But this is one of the main reasons why the Jewish people missed Jesus as the Son of God. They had no teaching that promised that the Messiah would be crucified and then raised from the dead. They had taken all of the Old Testament scriptures and passages about the Messiah and they misinterpreted them. You know, all throughout the Gospels, you know, you could see this incorrect understanding in their lives of the Messiah and even for what the kingdom of God is. So this incorrect doctrine governed the thinking and the expectation, believe it or not, of most of, if not all, of the disciples of Jesus. Therefore, when Jesus was taken away and crucified, it was a complete devastation to their hopes. Oh, devastation. Yes, I said it. I'll say it again. Devastation. Wow, what a great place in God, believe it or not. But most Christians like to avoid that word devastation. But like the disciples, life seems, what the disciples learned, life seems to have its way with us, and devastation brings us to our knees, even questioning our belief in God at times. Make no mistake, my friend, in our Christian life, there are going to be times that we move forward in our walk with God with certain expectations and beliefs. Ones we believe are biblical, and in fact, ones that we may believe God has even spoken to us. I heard a Baptist pastor recently say, Oh God speaks to you? Okay, chapter and verse, brother. Apparently, he does not believe God speaks to his children. Well, no wonder mainstream denominations are falling out of favor with people and with God. At the end of the day, God, who is spirit, must be presented to man in the spiritual. If not, all you have is a stiff and cold ritual religion reciting verses. And they do not really believe in God. Wow. But believe it or not, in their heart, they want to touch God. But now they do not know because they have not been taught how to, just like the Jewish people. They have no teaching in their doctrine to touch God's heart or even believe God, who loves his children, would want to talk with them. To be honest, this kind of puzzles me. Why would a loving God who wants to have fellowship with his children not want to talk with them as they go down that road of life? Wow, God would like to talk to us and share his heart with us. Oh, you know, I know many Baptist denominations say God only speaks to us in his word, and yes, he does. He speaks to us in his word, but why would God want to limit his ability to fellowship with his children? Wow. I would think God would make every means, every possible opportunity to contact man to share his heart with him. More next week, my brothers and sisters, on the road to fellowship as we open up our spirit and as the Lord goes ahead and communicates to us. Yes, the Lord desires to speak to our spirit, to speak to our heart. Amen. Again, more next week as we look at the different aspects of devastation. So we're going to look at the blessed devastation as we look at the road to fellowship. It is hard to believe, but believe it or not, that form of devastation, a spiritual devastation that God will bring into our life, will bring us to our knees. Those tough areas, those rough areas in our life, when we see that we need that holy God that devastation will bring us to our knees. Amen. This has been David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, trusting and hoping that this word has touched your heart and begins to give you an understanding of how much God desires to have that fellowship with us. More next week. God bless. Amen.